Blog Talk Radio.
Stop this illegal immigration tomorrow? You want to put an end to it right now? Declare war on Mexico. How's that sound? Does that sound pretty good? Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. There are bikers that are forming up a procession to go into Mexico and protest the arrest and imprisonment of Sergeant Tamoresi, T-A-H-M-O-R-M-O-O-R-E-S-S-I, Tamoresi. Now, I just heard my president, my great president, the great divider, telling me that he doesn't leave a man behind. Well, what about the Sergeant Andrew Tamoresi? You left him behind. He's an American citizen. Oh, no, he doesn't count. Why, he's a Marine? Oh, and what, Bergdahl was in the Army? Birdcall? Bo Birdcall, who won't talk to his parents? Is that under orders, Mr. President? Has he been told not to talk to his parents? Are you worried about Bo Birdcall, that he may be a loose cannon on deck? Will you dope him up for his first press interview? So that in case he was about to say something anti-communist, that his brain won't be working with coordination? Is that what that's all about? Oh, what about the four guys in Benghazi? Didn't you leave them behind? Did you hang up the phone when they called? Was Hillary there to take that 3 a.m. phone call? Did she hang up the phone too? And what was the director, John Brennan, doing? That great Irishman who converted to Islam. Did he really convert to Islam? Now, my question is, what was he, CIA director? He converted to Islam. Well, did he convert to Sunni or Shia? We got to know this. We got to know who's working for us or against us. So you left four in Benghazi and you left one down in Mexico. And you've left the entire Iraqi army to fend for itself. You said Al-Qaeda was defeated. They're on the run. And you killed bin Laden after giving him 4 months to escape. Yeah. You're a real hero. And when you announced that you got bin Laden, you did it at 10:30 on a Sunday night, Eastern Standard Time, when the world was going to bed because they had to be at work Monday. What timing? But how come you don't do that with when you're about to screw the American people, you get them on a Friday night? Yeah. Mr. President, why did you lose the entire Middle East? Were you ordered to do so by your handlers? What is going on? And why are you turning all these criminals loose? Don't you realize that there are 10,000 MS-13 gang members roaming California and other states? And they take their orders from who? You, Mr. President? Are you going to tell them don't do drugs when you're selling them to your children and charging them 30% tax? And Colorado is protesting the tax now. Man, I can't buy any more drugs. It's 30% tax. Yeah, and besides that, I got to go to work tomorrow and get a raise. I work at the VA. I'm getting a bonus. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We lost our country. Here's a little statistic. Everybody loves stats. Obama turned loose in the streets of the United States 36,000 criminals. Yes, illegals. These are all illegals. These aren't even our own manufactured criminals. These aren't the ones who they classify as right-wingers when they kill somebody. These are Obama bots, 36,000 of them. Well, guess what? Guess how many convictions the 36,000 have? 88,000 convictions, multiple convictions, not once, but twice, but three times. 116 murders. He turned 116 convicted murderers back out on the street. 426 sex offenders back out on the streets. Oh, by the way, in New York, crime is up. Yes, crime is up. As soon as they stopped, what was it, strip and search? Whatever it was. They stopped it because it was violating the rights of Americans. Yes, crime is up. Crime is up. Yes. And I know a cop that said, you watched the crime skyrocket in New York. And boy, was he right. 426 sex offenders, okay, out of that 36,000 with 88,000 multiple convictions, 100 murders, 116 murderers, 426 sex offenders, 303 kidnappings. That's going to be the new employment. Employment is up because the kidnappings are up. 1,085, and I didn't write down what it was, but 1,160 stolen vehicles. Oh, this must be assaults. 1,085 assaults. Oh, 9,087 drug arrests. Well, that's just for a little marijuana. It has nothing to do. 10,000 MS-13s salesmen are here in the United States awaiting for shipments so they can start peddling. 25,000 DWIs, 16,000 booze, 9,000 drugs. That's distorted, and I'll tell you why. You can't be tested for drugs in a pullover. You can only be tested for booze. So you could say, actually, if it's 16,000 for booze, it's 16,000 for drugs, too. Okay? And guess what the Pentagon is doing? They're spending billions on climate change. And we have a plea for two things tonight. Support these bikers that are going into Mexico to protest the arrest of that Marine sergeant, okay? And pray for them because they could die very easily. And, of course, it'll all be, you know how the government lies, and they'll tell Obama the truth, and then he'll say, be sure to lie. And the people that are rewriting, want to rewrite the Constitution and open it up for re-editing, we can't do it. You want to know why? We're outnumbered 51% communism, 49% freedom seekers. It'll be their day. And never forget, communists love coalitions. They join them, and then they take them over. And not only that, when they come to the negotiating table, they come with nothing, and they leave with 50%. Reopening the Constitution is not good. Do not do it. You don't have the stamina. and neither do I. We are American wusses. Let's face it, you know. We're going to have to join Wuss Anonymous. We're going to have to stand up and testify. Hello, everybody. My name is Tom, and I'm a wuss. Hello, Tom. How are you? I just wanted you to know what a wuss I was. Yeah, I lost my Liberty Bells. Yes, I didn't realize the communists had infiltrated every area of life in the United States with the media, starting with the Newsweek. Well, Newsweek is gone. They died. They're being buried in Lenin's tomb. Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a tune. I'm looking for a girl's name because we're only going to do girls' names tonight. So, I think I got one. It's called Charmaine.
I wonder why you keep me waiting, Charmaine.
I'm a Border Patrol agent in the Rio Grande Valley, sector, RGV, south of Corpus Christi, Texas. Thank you for your continued support and coverage of the ongoing crisis on the border. I would like to take a moment to convey the absolute desperation that we are reaching down here. We have been ordered to release thousands of family units, parent/child, and thousands of teenage unaccompanied juveniles under 18. We have encountered numerous instances of fraud, kidnapping, and exploitation where adults are claiming that very young children are their own when in fact they are not. Many of the unaccompanied juveniles are claiming that they have a responsible parent to be released to when in fact they do not. As a Border Patrol agent, I can tell you as an eyewitness that we are currently losing more than we are catching. On a good day, we catch approximately 30-40% of all crossers, while the rest simply get away. In the Rio Grande Valley, we have been averaging around 10,000 apprehensions per week. This means we're losing well over 10,000 aliens per week. And the aliens that are getting away are not the juveniles or the family units because they are turning themselves in at the first sight of agents. The ones we are losing are convicted felons, aliens from special interest countries, and other high-risk individuals. So we are so overwhelmed and preoccupied by the flood of juveniles and family units that we cannot use our resources to catch the more serious aliens. In the Rio Grande Valley, we have been releasing aliens through ICE in Brownsville, Texas, and McAllen, Texas. We have been ordered to go out of our way to bus them to those locations for release because there are cities of mostly Hispanic heritage, so fewer people will notice or care. We have been doing that for months before the stories broke in Phoenix, Arizona, a couple of weeks ago. We cannot get any attention or relief down here. We desperately need immediate manpower, resources, and the firm support of Americans. This is de facto amnesty. The President and the Secretary of Homeland Security will ignore this issue as long as possible in order to let as many illegal aliens gain entry into the United States. And again, thank you for your undying support and patriotism. You have no idea how much my fellow agents and I appreciate it. God bless America. How's that? Want to hear some of the comments? The only way to get any help is impeach Holder and Obama and kick the other Democrats out of office, and then they will get help. It is all part of a plan to take over the country, and we will be living in a FEMA camp or join them and give up what few rights we have left. That's by Jack. Jordan says, Obama Nation has a plan to destroy our liberties and freedoms by force. Our porous southern border is the access point for many of Obama Nation's Al-Qaeda associates. As I said in 2008, Obama Nation is a curse upon this nation and its people. He just doesn't want to take away a few people's rights and liberties. He wants to remove them all from everyone. He intends to subjugate the American people, and he's doing that as we speak. Terry, we can impeach them all we want, but until the right people hold the Senate, they can never be convicted. That's right. We got to get the Senate, because the Senate is the one with the key for impeachment. Impeachment is only a trial. The Senate is the jury, and they have to decide whether or not to find those two guilty. It just isn't going to happen as long as the Senate is controlled by Democamos. He says Democrats. I call them Democamos. And what is their reward? This is from Joanne. Legalization and welfare? Speak of a carrot. Broke Dog says, as long as we have this weak and deceitful Republican representation in the House, WTP will continue to suffer at the hands of the usurper, we the people, in the White House. Mr. Francis, oh, well, there's somebody calling somebody names. We don't get into that. No, now they're fighting amongst each other. See, that's not good. That's not good. But let's see what he says. Let's analyze Roke a Dog's comment. Is the Republican-controlled Congress weak? Yes. Has the Republican-controlled Congress deceived us? Yes. Is the Republican-controlled Congress complicit with the abuse we are suffering? Yes. Okay. So that's where we're at on the subject of border guards under siege. We'll go back for a tune. We'll find a tune. Let's see if we can get a girl's name again. We're doing girls' names tonight. Disco Duck? That's not a girl's name. Come on, I got girls' names here. I got a song by Faith Stars, the Star-Spangled Banner. It goes with the 911. Oh, we want to talk about 911. Let me get there right now. You see what's happening in Iraq. The country is falling apart. I said that the day we went in there that Iraq will probably end up with another dictator, because that's what the people really deal with. They can't get along. So they need a strong man to scare them into being, into behaving. And now we see the communists, that's the party of death, the Democrat Party. It used to be the Democrat Party, now it's the Communist Party. And now we see them, they're going back to Bush. Bush never should have went to Iraq, and this never would have happened. Well, as a witness to 9-1-1, okay, and has relatives who cough a lot from being there, I will tell you that the night of 9-1-1 was the scariest night in the history of the United States. The, what's her name? She's, she was the sneaker of the house for a long time, Nancy Pelosi. She came out today and she says, we have to go back to 2003. Bush did all this. No, Nancy, we got to go back to 1993. President Pinocchio Pants did all this when he invited Osama bin Laden to take down the World Trade Center, the Clinton Towers, that's what they're called. In the Clinton Towers, that we all laughed when Al-Qaeda tried to bring the buildings down the first time because they only injured 100 and killed about 3, maybe 5. And we laughed because the terrorist that did it went back to get his deposit money without the van that he blew up in the basement of the World Trade Center. But 9-1-1 began in 93 under the Clinton administration, while President Pinocchio Pants was getting harmonica lessons. Osama bin Laden was improving his plans to bring down the towers. So I remember the night of 9-1-1. I remember going to work and standing outside, outside in the street and seeing the smoke rising from New York City. And then somebody said, a plane hit the World Trade Center. So I figured it's a little Piper Cub went off course. And then, a half hour later, they said, another plane just hit the World Trade Center. Oh, my God, it's a terrorist attack. And everybody crapped their pants. And there was tears and the gnashing of teeth. And people were being chased by a big cloud. And they were running to the Hudson River and jumping in. And guys from Staten Island with boats were going to get their children who were working in the area. And nobody knew what was happening next. And then we heard the Pentagon got hit. And then we heard about the Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that night, after the two buildings had collapsed, and 343 firemen died along with 3,000 people, including 200 mothers who died with their unborn children, whose names should be on the monument. Those families of the 200 should name those children and put their names with their mother who they died with on that monument. And that night, we had to shut down all aircraft in the sky from here to Europe to Asia. Not a plane could come into the United States. That's how hunkered down we had become. And we were waiting. Is there a nuke coming? Is there anthrax coming? Is there smallpox coming? Don't go into the subways. And that night, as the DNA dust rose from the ashes of the World Trade Center, we all crapped our pants. And the people that never supported the troops were hiding under the bed. And that night, very few people got sleep. We were waiting for Osama bin Laden's other shoe to drop. And we couldn't defend ourselves in New York, yet Fiorello LaGuardia, when he was mayor, had 50 caliber machine guns on rooftops during World War II. How's that? and we didn't have anything. We didn't even have one Stinger missile. And the planes that they scrambled came all the way from Washington, D.C. And they were unarmed and helpless. And we weren't ready for anything. Absolutely nothing. And we had been completely snookered by 19 deeply religious Muslims performing the highest act in Islam, jihad. And they are known as saints and martyrs in their religion, along with Osama bin Laden. And Bill Clinton had an opportunity to take out Osama bin Laden, and he wouldn't do it. And then he had an opportunity to capture Osama bin Laden by taking him off the hands of the Sudanese or the Somalis. I forget which one. But they had him. And they were willing to trade him. And Clinton kicked the can down the road until 2001, when it was Bush's can. And Bush got caught wide open. And the first thing the Clintons did, the old communist tactic, blame and deflect. What did Bush know, and when did he know it? Well, let's go back and ask that question in 1993. What did the Clintons know, and when did they know it? Yeah, and why are there so many Muslim Brotherhood of friends in the White House working with both Hillary and Obama? Okay, now comes 911 and America is crapping its pants. And everybody is praising the cops and the firemen. They did a wonderful job, and we love our military, and we played When Johnny Comes Marching Home for the opening today. And everybody was waving American flags and wearing American flag pins, and everybody was patriotic. And then Bush said there's a possibility that Saddam Hussein has nuclear weapons. And he got the Congress to vote for us first to go to Afghanistan and get Osama bin Laden. So we did. We went to Afghanistan, and we trusted the Pakistanis. And on their side of Tora Bora, they were supposed to capture Osama bin Laden if he came their way, and they let him through, and they hit him in Pakistan. That's what they did. And, of course, we were snookered. So we had to do what we had to do. We went on a hunt and a search for Osama bin Laden. One of the smartest things we did was forming an alliance with the Northern Alliance under Shah Ahmed Massoud, who warned us that 911 was coming. And the night before 911, they murdered Shah Ahmed Massoud. And that night, the Northern Alliance, in retaliation, blew up ammo dumps that belonged to the Taliban. I remember that. And you know how they took out Shah Ahmed Massoud? They said bin Laden sent a suicide team with explosives in a camera, and they were going to hold an interview. And when they got in the tent, the guy detonated the explosives and killed themselves and Shah Ahmed Massoud. And that was our greatest ally. And his Northern Alliance stayed with us and helped us take over Afghanistan. Okay? And we did it very quickly and very successfully. Now the word comes out that Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. And it was a lie, according to the Democrats. But you know what? They couldn't prove it was a lie. And Bush couldn't prove that Saddam had them. He took the word of the Germans and the English, and he didn't trust the weapons inspectors from the UN, one of whom was a guy named Mohammed Baradei, who recently ran for president of Iran.
But he was the so-called expert. And he said that Saddam didn't have them. But Saddam had other weapons of mass destruction. He had an uncle named Chemical Ali who wiped out 5,000 Kurds in the city of Halabja. And so, if you remember, the troops that went into Iraq decided to send in his own inspectors. And the troops that went into Iraq in 120 degree temperature were in, sweatproof suits, and that were non-porous, okay? And they were wearing masks, and they were crawling around in trenches in 120 degrees because we thought we were going to be fighting chemical warfare. So Bush wasn't lying. He didn't know, and he was trust but verify. Isn't that what Ronald Reagan said? But the communists, the people that call themselves anti-war, they're not anti-war. They're anti-win. So we went. We went into Iraq, and 27 days after we went into Iraq from Kuwait, don't you remember the Turks wouldn't let us go in through Turkey? We had ships in there. We had to turn the ships around and go back through the Suez Canal. So the Turks stabbed us in the back, and they're doing it now. And 27 days after we kicked off from Kuwait, we made a right turn into Saddam's palace, and Saddam went and hid in a spider hole. We caught his two sons, and we put them on display with a lot of bullets in them at the Iraq airport. And now today everybody's saying that the 4,500 Americans who died to take Iraq, they died in vain. No American soldier dies in vain. Nope. That's the blood of heroes, and I hate people who say blood and treasure. When you hear somebody saying blood and treasure, he has no interest in winning anything. He's an anti-win bastard. You cannot call one drop of precious blood treasure. You can't put it in the same sentence. And what are you worried about, spending money? You know how much money we didn't spend that we should have spent? Finding an IED detonator. Do you know how many guys are walking around missing legs in the United States that can't get attention in a VA hospital because the government has ruined the VA hospitals with corruption, bribe-taking, and bonus paying for bad service? Nobody could guarantee our safety, not a plane in the sky the night of 9-1-1. Nobody could guarantee our safety. And when in doubt, you got to take them out. So don't give me this crap that Iraq was a wrong move, because it wasn't. Based on the intelligence we had at that time, we had no choice. And I'll tell you something else. When you know how far we were once we got into Baghdad from Ahmadinejad's house in Iran? Half hour away by tank. Don't you think those Iranians were all crapping in their dish dashes because they thought they were next? And they should have been next. We should have continued on and taken out the nukes that we're now going to receive while they cover up that they're not developing a nuclear weapon. Okay, it's time for a tune. We're going to do a girl's name again, Gloria.
two more lies that the Obama administration tells badly. Bo Birdcall was tortured. Have you ever seen anybody that's been tortured by the Taliban? Huh? Have you ever seen a housewife of a Taliban that's been tortured? You know what they do? They cut their noses off. You have any idea what kind of torture the Taliban is capable of? And they're saying this guy was tortured? Yeah, he was tortured. He was made to eat Rice Krispies. I got a picture of him with his little red hat on that every senator, every Democrat senator should be made to wear as they appear naked. Yeah, unbelievable. And congressman, Democrat, communist congressman, his little red hat. And what's he got? He's sitting at a table. He's got a shirt on, nice clean shirt. He's got a big pen in his pocket so he can write verses on how to kill Americans. He's got a green plastic bottle, a quart, a 2-liter bottle, probably of Canada Dry, a 7-Up. He's got an urn of coffee and a coffee cup, and he's eating his Rice Krispies at gunpoint. He didn't want the Rice Krispies, and I'll verify that. Now hold on a second. I'll make a phone call to the Al Kani Network. Al Kani Network. How you doing, Mahmoud? It's Tom. Oh, Mr. Tom, how are you? Hey, Mahmoud, did they torture this Birdcall guy? Yes, Mr. Tom, they did. They turned their guns on him. They pointed their guns at his head. And he wouldn't eat his Rice Krispies. Yeah, in my mood, you're a great guy. Anytime you need information, you want to know how much Hillary Clinton paid? No, it's okay, Mahmoud. I really don't want to know that because I don't want to end up in a park. Okay, Mr. Tom, anytime you need me, you'll give me a call. Yeah, he was forced to eat Rice Krispies, and he used the pen in his shirt to order bananas. And be sure to tell us. So he had to fill out an Al Kani service card. Yes, be sure to tell us how your stay was, your stay with us was, and your suggestions on how we can accommodate you better in the future. Just write them at the back of the card. And he wrote, "I had a wonderful time. The grenade launcher could have been closer to my bed. And Hollywood is having a concert to help me refuse Rice Krispies. We're going to boycott the Rice Krispies. Everybody will be wearing little red hats. Harry Reid and his cattle rustlers will all be wearing little red hats and cowboy shoes." Yeah, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We lost our country. I don't think we're getting it back. If we don't get it back in November, you can kiss your ass goodbye. You could practice bending over backwards. Yeah, because if we don't get it back in November, if you're going to let these same, I don't want to say the word, but bags is the other part of it, if you're going to let them run this country, man, you're going to be eating dirt in the streets. So, having said that, is it time for another tune? We need a girl's tune? What are we going to do? How about... Oh, I got two nice songs. I'm flipping a coin here. I got Johnny Mathis, Maria, and Johnny Mathis, Romeo and Juliet. Which one should I do? We'll do Romeo and Juliet. That's a girl's name.
A time for us, someday there'll be, when chains are torn by courage born of a love that's free. A time when dreams so long denied can flourish as we unveil the love we now must hide. A time to see a life thorns we will endure as we pass surely through every storm. A time for us, someday there'll be a new
Okay, we just got in a late breaking news from Walid Shubat. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. What the? Walid Shubat? I know, what is this guy? Well, let's say he's an Arab, and he knows how Arabs think, and he knows how what Arabs do. And you want to hear his headline? This is going to get you, man. Benghazi filmmaker confirmed, large print, confirmed to be an agent of Eric Holder Justice Department. The producer of the anti-Muhammad video the Obama administration blamed for the Benghazi attacks is actually a confirmed agent of Eric Holder's Justice Department. Oh, what a lawsuit he's going to have when he gets out of jail. The damning trail of evidence begins when a fictitious narrative was concocted by the FBI to lure the courts that Nakula, the filmmaker, a.k.a. Youssef, was supposed to help the FBI catch Iyad Salama. Okay? So we got two guys here, Nakula and Salama, his partner in crimes for many years. Yet the deal was never fulfilled, and Salama was let go by the feds in 2011. As Shubat.com revealed in a first-hand account never before reported, including a recorded conversation between Nakula and Shubat, in which the filmmaker defended Salama, the very man he was supposed to help the feds catch. So he was giving up to get time off. He was, can you give us anybody? He said, yes, I can give you Salama. Oh, God. He admitted to being a Muslim. You know how they set this up, you know, when they first told the big lie? They said he was a crazy Christian. He was a Coptic Christian who was seeking revenge. So let's see what it says. His partner in crime. Bolstering the case, aside from the feds letting two criminals go, is how the filmmaker became an agent of Eric Holder. After Nakula's arrest, there was a very curious development at the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California, which was handling his case through an assistant U.S. attorney who was suddenly pulled off the case and replaced by a full bird. Chief of the Office's Criminal Division, Robert Dugdale. Oh, is this getting interesting? Robert Dugdale, given Nakula case and public not told why. Okay, Nakula got high-profile attention. In an article that appeared in the Washington Times, Kerry Pickett wrote, "What is curious, though, is the fact that the original assistant U.S. attorney, Jennifer Williams, who helped to prosecute Mr. Youssef's Nakula, that's Nakula, bank fraud conviction, is not the attorney Mr. Youssef's lawyers would eventually deal with. Mr. Youssef's probation violation case, for no explained reason, was kicked up to the Chief Criminal Division Prosecutor Assistant, U.S. Attorney Robert Dugdale. Dugdale is the second in the chain of command below U.S. Attorney Andre Birot,
of the Central District of California. Pickett was suspicious. She attempted to get answers from the office's spokesman, Tom Mizrock. When I pointed out that AUSA Dugdale was not part of the team of the attorneys who did prosecute Youssef's case and asked why his case had been kicked up the chain to AUSA Dugdale, Mr. Mrozek responded, "I don't comment on staffing decisions." The U.S. attorney over Dugdale, Andre Birot Jr., became the local caretaker of a very high-profile and high-stakes case the Obama administration wanted to control very closely, and was later nominated by Obama to be a U.S. District Judge for California's Central District. Andre Birot Jr. is a very successful African-American. Now, Mr. Salama, Nicola's partner in crimes, also beholden to the administration, obtained special favors from doing the Justice Department's bidding, according to a report by the Smoking Gun, just days after the Benghazi attacks. Charges against Salama, who has a proven rap sheet, were dropped in the same year that Canadian authorities picked him up. It is unclear whether Salama, whose whereabouts are unknown, has been charged in connection with the bank fraud. Salama was named in a 2006 federal criminal complaint charging him with felony fraud. That complaint, filed under one of Salama's many aliases, was dismissed last year by federal prosecutors. A court docket shows that no filings were made after the initial complaint, likely indicating that Salama was never apprehended. But the last sentence is incorrect, because Salama was apprehended. Jeffrey Mason of the Canadian Peel Police picked Salama up in January of 2011. By that time, he should have been wanted in connection with both 2006 and 2009 cases, assuming he was involved in the Nicola bank fraud case. Yet the 2006 case was dropped in either the same month Salama was arrested or in the months that followed. Shubat.com has learned from one retired FBI agent that this doesn't just happen unless Salama was providing the feds with something in return for such treatment. As Shubat.com has reported, a timeline provides further evidence that the Obama administration was in cahoots with these figures in the summer of 2011 during the July-August time frame. Boy, this guy is saying a lot. If it's true, he's a dead man walking, isn't he? They're going to find him in the park. Yeah. They're going to Vince Foster him. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Oh, this one we got to pay attention to here. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton co-chaired a meeting in Istanbul, Turkey, with the head of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. It was to be the first of several meetings that would become known as the Istanbul Process. One of the objectives of the OIC has been and remains to pressure non-Muslim countries to censor speech critical of Islam. Yeah, like if you said all imams were pedophile priests, huh? What would happen to you? Nicola began casting for his video, and Salama was put on a plane back to Palestine by the Canadians after Eric Holder's FBI refused to have him extradited and charged. FBI's Benghazi investigation. When UN Ambassador Susan Rice blamed Nicola's video for the Benghazi attacks during her five Sunday talk show appearances on September the 16th,
It's 2012. It served to anger the president of Libya, who shortly before Rice had identified the attack as an act of terrorism. Last year, State Department whistleblower Gregory Hicks, the deputy chief of mission in Libya at the time of the attacks, testified about this and said Rice's comments prevented the FBI from getting to the site of the attacks for 2 weeks, I remember. Here is Hicks giving his testimony while being questioned by Trey Gowdy. And then they have a video of Hicks being questioned. Based on the FBI's relationship with Nakula and Salamander, the longer it took to get to the scene of the Benghazi attacks, the more compromised that scene would become. Yet a CNN reporter was there the next day, picked up all kinds of paperwork laying around. Now, here's something as an observation that came out today, and I want you to know about it. When the embassy got overrun, the Al-Qaeda that were there got a hold of the cell phones of a State Department people and maybe CIA people. Now, I want you to go back to the scene when you first saw. And they used the State Department and CIA phones to communicate with higher-ups that they were having a very successful attack. Okay? All right, and they were on the same line as the State Department and the CIA, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Picture Ambassador Chris Stevens being carried out by the guys who found his body or killed him. And do you remember the guy that was carrying him with his hands on the Ambassador Stevens' armpits? And Ambassador Stevens still looks alive at that time in that picture. Do you remember what the guy was holding in his mouth? A cell phone. Was that his cell phone, or was that the ambassador's cell phone? So, if Al-Qaeda was on the cell phones that were being listened to by the State Department and the CIA, both agencies at that very time knew that it was an Al-Qaeda attack on the embassy. So everybody's involved in the cover-up. Hicks also testified that he was not interviewed by the FBI. They weren't interested. I got to tell you something. I'm disappointed in the FBI. Since 9-1-1, all I've seen them do, I hate to say this, and I might be totally all wet on this, and they may be doing spectacular things that I'm not aware of, but all I ever seen them do after 9-1-1 was protect mosques. Sorry, that's what I see. Every time I started to call the FBI director Mueller, and all he did was walk around with his briefcase and say something profound. Yep, he's not a J. Edgar Hoover. Silencing skeptics, we continue. It is unusual for the U.S. government to empower informants to engage in a massive scheme and criminal enterprise for the purpose of creating a political climate to help push an agenda. Hardly. In much of the same way that the Obama State Department, I got to tell you about the State Department. I believe it's a branch of the U.N. They are not American at all. They are not American. If I had my way, I would replace every ambassador in the world with a vet in a wheelchair. And then I would feel comfortable that I had some loyalty. Championed the State Department, the Obama State Department championed the Istanbul process as a vehicle to assault the First Amendment. A gun walking operation was used to assault the Second Amendment. Yeah, we're up against the communists and they've infiltrated the government. Jimmy from Brooklyn says they're everywhere and we've lost. And he is very frustrated. He says he's the only guy fighting communism. He says, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. He said that Sean Hannity said today, we got to get more Republicans, we got to win more votes. He says, how are you going to win when you're fighting communists and you don't even know who you're fighting? In Operation Fast and Furious, multiple federal agencies work together as part of an organized crime drug enforcement task force. The stated purpose of the operation was to track guns that were being trafficked into Mexico, arrest the bad guys, and confiscate the guns. In reality, as had been clearly demonstrated, the actual purpose was to allow the guns to walk into Mexico and to make their way into the hands of the drug cartels. After the ATF, an arm of the Justice Department, mandated U.S. gun store owners sell the guns to the bad guys. In 2011, ATF, a special agent in charge, William Newell, was grilled by the House Oversight Committee. Patrick Meehan, a representative from Pennsylvania, about the operation of being an OCDETF case, organized crime, drug, and blah, blah. Newell trapped himself in one of the most compelling moments of Fast and Furious hearings. And then it says they got a video, and Meehan is getting answers for Fast and Furious. The guns would be picked up at the crime scenes. The American store owners would be blamed in a blood libel. The cover of the operation was blown after the death of a Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry. An ATF whistleblower named John Dodson came forward, and the scandal was exposed and then covered up in the media. And there's two more videos from CBS. One says, explains why he let the guns walk, and the other guy says it's not over. Oh, it's the same guy saying it's not over. If blood libel and the collateral damage of innocent human lives is the interest of pushing an agenda like gun control was used to launch an assault on the Second Amendment, why would it be beyond plausibility to envision the same administration launching an assault on the First Amendment, using it to create the climate for speech control? Ironically, and perhaps not so coincidentally, the man in charge of the criminal division in both Fast and Furious and the post-Benghazi prosecution of Nakula was Lanny Brewer. And they got a picture of Lanny Brewer and Eric Holder in 2010. You know, Eric Holder doesn't look like he sweats that much. And you know what that tells me? He's a man with a purpose, and his purpose is more important than being caught. From Obama's Marxist roots, we can learn that the term agitprop, which describes a tactic that is of Russian origin. Here we go again, KGB infiltration. Oh, by the way, Jimmy from Brooklyn tells me that all KGB front groups are tax-exempt in the United States. And that the Institute for Policy Studies, it cannot be investigated. It has three definitions. Oh, and he says, and the Tea Party people can't get us certified, but the KGB can. It has three definitions, one of which is agitation and propaganda promoted by agitpropists, people who are trained or take part in such activities. Fast and Furious was clearly agitprop, and it was also an OCDETF case, which meant it spread across the entire administration. Such was the anti-Mohammed video, which was involved multiple administration agencies and departments. Barack Obama's Communist Party, USA, and his mentor was Frank Marshall Davis. That's a guy that was an outright communist, a known communist, was under investigation by the FBI, and that's why they had pictures of Obama's mama with Frank Marshall Davis in compromising situations, and you can see him on the Internet. Frank Marshall Davis also took a paycheck from the Soviet Union. A man followed closely by a completely different FBI for 19 years. Davis wasn't just a CPUSA member, Communist Party US. He was a communist writer and propagandist, and he was an agitpropist. In conclusion, cutting a deal with one criminal to help catch another, it didn't want brings legitimate questions about how Nakula's case was handled by Holder's criminal division, where the possible monies obtained for the film, led at the time nationally by a figure whose claim to infamy is that he wound up as a central figure in the Operation Fast and Furious gunwalking scandal, Assistant General Attorney General Lanny Brewer. Along with Holder, Brewer, Dugdale, Barat, should all be deposed by the House Select Committee on Benghazi. And so should Nakula and the guy's first name is Ziad Salama. The question should be, why did the Law Enforcement Bureau Holder led refuse to pick up Salama when offered on a silver platter, for the same reason that Clinton didn't pick up Osama bin Laden when he was offered Osama bin Laden by what, the Sudanese? Was it the Sudanese? Where he was staying? They offered him to Clinton on a silver platter. What was the source of money spent on the movie? Why was Nakula given a lesser prison sentence to help the FBI arrest someone it didn't want, thereby making the plea deal about something else? In the days after the Benghazi attack, Nakula was arrested for violating the terms of his probation. The optics, coupled with the Obama administration's attempt to blame the video for the earlier deaths, clearly communicated that he was being punished for producing a crude and disgusting video that was critical of Islam. Unfortunately, the outrage Nakula's arrest generated in conservative circles actually played to the Obama administration's advantage, creating a distraction from a devastating truth. Obama is the master of blame and deflect. It is a great communist tactic. They use it all the time. Don't look where I'm pointing. Don't look what I'm avoiding. Based on this explosive development, enough probable cause exists to either investigate whether or not Iyad Salama was involved in financing Nakula's video production. In this ABC news story filed just 2 days after the Benghazi attack, it was revealed that the cost of the video was between $50,000 and $60,000, financed by his family in Egypt. Egypt. Just 2 weeks after Benghazi, Shubat.com published a report about the claim by Nakula that his family provided him with the funds. As we wrote, this family has not been located. If an Egyptian by the name of Nakula Basile Nakula was blamed for angering over 1 billion Muslims, it would not be too difficult to find the entire family in Egypt, to include brothers, cousins, aunts, siblings, wife, wives, ex-wives, mistresses, and pets, especially since the riots that spanned across 30 nations were sparked in Egypt. In the Middle East, you are known by your clan, yet Egypt cannot produce neither this man's family or his background. Was Iyad Salama the source of the $50,000, $60,000? The feds clearly couldn't have their fingerprints on the money, but two informants who were beholden to the Justice Department could, and that is why he was taken into custody when the Canadians, he wasn't taken into custody when the Canadians offered him up. Oh, man. Providing even further evidence that Nakula's video was about agitprop and blood libel are his initial claims about the source of this funding. According to the ABC news report above, Nakula attempted to say the video cost $5 million and was funded by a consortium of wealthy Jewish friends. This was clearly a lie. In a Shubat exclusive, we learned that Nakula recently told one of the actresses in his video, Cindy Lee Garcia, that he is a Muslim after being confronted by Garcia. The claim is bolstered by the mere partnership of Nakula and Salameh. As Salameh is a Muslim, a fundamentalist who hates Coptic Christians, if Nakula was a cop, why would Salama partner with him? The answer is that Nakula is a Muslim who used agitprop and blood libel as an agent of the Obama administration and and the Justice Department. And then it says, you want to comment on it? There's no comments. Unbelievable. Yep. I have to comment on it. Okay. We'll go to a tune. And I think I'll give you Maria if we're here. By Johnny Mathis. That's a beautiful sound, too. Most beautiful sound I ever heard. Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis, Maria.
Maria, the most beautiful sound I ever heard. All the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word.
Maria, 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 Maria,
Maria. Maria, I just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Maria, I've just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I found how wonderful a sound can be. Maria, say it loud, and there's music playing. Say it soft, and it's almost like praying. Maria, I'll never stop saying Maria. I'll never stop saying Maria.
Okay, there's a lot of blogs coming up about the bikers that are going to Mexico to free the Marine. Oh, unbelievable. You know, one of the tactics that's very successful for the communists is what they call a stunt making. An example of stunt making is you infiltrate an organization and then you destroy it by doing something that makes the organization look bad. It could be like a communist going to a Jewish cemetery and knocking over all the headstones and putting swastikas on them and make it look like it was a right-wing job. Okay? You could see it in, you can probably see it better in the Ukraine, where they have infiltrated into Ukrainian mobs, and then they'll do something dastardly that turns everybody against the Ukrainians, but it's Russians that's doing it. They're the masters of the stunt. Another example is Nancy Pelosi leading her procession up the stairs like it's a march in Selma, and walking past protesting a Tea Party people, and claiming that somebody used the N-word from the Tea Party. And when Breitbart said, I got $100,000 to anybody that can show me a video, an audio, or was a witness to it, and nobody took his money. That's a stunt. That's a stunt. And stunt makers, they could even be a Tea Party head. Now, I heard tonight, and I don't know if it's true or not, that the head of the Tea Party is making $500,000 a year. If that's true, that's going to disappoint a hell of a lot of people. So is it a false rumor, is it a stunt, or if it's the truth? And if it's the truth, we got to get somebody like from the Salvation Army. The head of the Salvation Army makes $24,000 a year. And that's what we need as heading up the Tea Party. We need this guy, Brat, who spent $100,000 to fight a rhino who was backed by big business, and that U.S. Department, not U.S., the Chamber of Commerce, the United States Chamber of Commerce, they're no good. They're no good. No mom and pop should ever support those dirtbags. They are the enemy of the Tea Party. And that's the big business I don't support. I love big business. I love big American business. If you're putting Americans to work, the bigger you are, the happier I am. The more money you make, the happier I am. But if you're buying congressmen and politicians and hurting this country, may you burn in hell with all your money. So, having said that, let me see. The bikers are getting a lot of support. They're going down. They're going to let that Marine know that he's not alone. But our president, he flips the bird all the time. He hates the Marine Corps. You know why he hates the Marine Corps? Because he could never be the man they are. That's why. He's jealous. He's jealous. That's why he makes them hold umbrellas and treats them like doormen. So God bless the Marine Corps. And these bikers. These bikers, they're risking their lives. They could be killed by Obama, or they could be killed by the Mexican government. And I opened my show tonight. I said, if you want to end all of this illegal immigration, declare war on Mexico, and then you'll have a border. You'll have a border in about 45 minutes to an hour. There's 60,000 guys ducking bullets in Fort Hood under the workplace violence rule. They could be put on the border tomorrow with clipboards and pens to take the names of all the illegals that want to apply for American citizenship, and then say, we'll call you, don't call us. And we could give them citizenship. Well, this is a land of immigrants. But it's not a land of illegal invaders. Yep. I had an uncle come into the United States illegally. Came to New York and from the wheat fields of Saskatchewan. And he didn't like it here. He wanted to go back to England. So he turned himself in. He got a free ride. Yep. Everybody else stayed here. Everybody else became Americans. He should have stayed here. He would have lived better. But that's life in the big city, huh? You know, the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. I say there's three plans in life: yours, mine, and God's. And he usually wins out. Okay, let's see what we see here. Memo revealed border needs agents with Let's see what this is. Rise up against the most anti-American president in the history of our country. He has allowed 36,000 alcohol-abusing, drug-using, sexual predators, and other criminals to flood our backyards, and millions more are coming if Obama gets his way with amnesty. It's time to impeach him. Start the impeachment proceedings now, and then change the Senate in November. And the two should coincide at the same time. Drag it out, you know, if you're moving too far ahead and they want to get it out of the way before the election, drag it out. Do like they do. Get a blood clot. Fake a blood clot. We just can't let that happen, or we will be living in fear 24/7 paying taxes just to pay for illegals who feed off hardworking Americans. We have done it all wrong. Done it all wrong. He's America's fraud president. He lies, spies, and puts himself above the law. Oh, he's having a grand old time. He won the lotto. Him and his wife won the lotto. This is the first time in my life I'm proud to be an American. Yes. How much is the donation? $360,000. Oh, thank you very much, white boy. Yeah, what a joke, man. What are we going to do? Biker's going in. Let's see what this guy says. I had a guy that did the whole thing on this story about this Marine, and I lost it with a click. Biker's doing the job of the federal government. Obama will help any Muslim anywhere in the world but won't lift a finger from a Marine. God bless these bikers. Yeah. And Harry Reid has got a cow in his bedroom, and it belongs to Bundy. Bundy's looking for that cow. Yeah. First time I ever saw a cow with a negligee. Unbelievable. So I'm glad I read you the Shoebot story. And it was the repeat. He edited it better than when he broke it last night. And if it's true, well, it'll wake up the country. And you'll know it's true if the media picks it up and runs with it. And it only takes one channel to do it. So I hope he gets it out there. And if it's wrong, well, then we'll prove it wrong. But you know what? Usually when you have something like this and it's wrong, it leads to other things that are right. Okay. Having said that, and giving you everything we did, we gave you the full boat tonight. Has Eric Cantor gotten over crying? Is he going to, somebody, Mark Levin said he's going to stay in Washington. He'll be a lobbyist. Unbelievable. Ah, we got another girl's name. We're out of time, but we'll close with Tangerine.
With her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame, Tangerine, when she dances by, Senorita stare and Caballero sigh, and I've seen toasts to Tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine. Tangerine.
if the color keeps Louis Philippe's to blame. And I've seen clothes on tangerine where the label says from Macy's mezzanine. Yes, she's got the guys in a whirl, but she's only fooling one girl. She's only fooling Tangerine.